Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Suffering. Oh, boy. That's no fun. Suffering. That's really hard. Maybe you feel like you're suffering. It's not a fun season to go through. But isn't it crazy how God uses suffering to bring good things into our lives of those he loves? And oftentimes it is so hard to get your mind around that, and especially when you're going through the suffering and you feel that all hope is lost. You feel the overwhelming weight and you just go, I don't show people how I love them by making them go through suffering. And together we're going to learn today and grow in our understanding of the Bible, our relationship with God, and we're going to be encouraged because Amanda Jenkins is on Afternoons with Bill Arnold here on Faith Radio. My name is Ben. We're filling in. Have you ever heard of the TV show The Chosen? They have a new interactive Bible study from the creators of The Chosen. It just helps us through season four of the series, God's Goodness for The Chosen. It releases on what already came out on March 5th. And so, Amanda, welcome to Faith Radio, and thank you for talking us through suffering today. And I'm grateful for the vulnerability and authenticity as you show up this afternoon.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. So let's just start with suffering. Before we got on the radio, you had mentioned that you had just come through a season of suffering. I feel like I'm just on the precipice on the other side of suffering as well. And the goodness that comes from suffering, when you're in it, it doesn't seem that good.
No. No. And I didn't have a whole lot of good things to say about it, to be honest. I had to really learn. I had to do this Bible study that we've now released before I actually understood it, honestly. But I wouldn't even say that we're through it. I would say I have my head above water. I'm right. Not sure through it. So we have a chronically ill kid. She's given us freedom to talk about it, but she just took a turn for the worst in this last year, and it's nothing that's curable. And so it's really just something I've really had to learn to watch her suffer. And for a mom, that's utter suffering. And was angry. I mean, I spent a good part of my year angry and shaking my fist at the Lord, to be quite honest. So our operating title for this new Bible study for a while was Suffering for the Chosen. But what I have come to understand is that while God often doesn't remove the suffering, his goodness eclipses that suffering if we make space for him to suffer with us, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. But can you speak to just a little bit more to that? If there's somebody listening right now who is going through something that is similar to what you're going through with your precious daughter, or might be something completely different, and then that suffering. And it's so interesting that you said you feel like your head is finally above water, because I had this vision when I was going through it that I'm in the ocean and the waves are coming and I'm like barely hanging on to nothing. I mean, there's nothing other than like, God, I need you. I'm out here in the middle. I don't even have a life jacket. I can barely breathe. So thank you, God. I can still, you know. What do you say to people who feel like they're in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, what have I been saying to myself? What have I been saying to my kid is really what I would say to anyone else. It's we really had to just turn back to reading the word and choosing to believe what it said. And Because I think so often we're looking for more than that. And that's natural and understandable because we want something that is immediately applicable to the situation we're in the moment that we're in it. And I was finding that, you know, not only were we asking for healing, we were praying the big prayers, you know, and there were I think there were moments where there was unbelief mixed with belief, but there was a genuine like, Lord, you can do this, please remove this. And the answer was no, or at least it's not yet as far as we can see. And so we had to return to what we were given. We were given his words already. And so I really started diving into the scripture, and actually in First Peter, he talks about suffering. And so, and that's what the study is based on. But we just really had to go to the word and start standing on it and choosing to believe it, because, you know, throughout the Bible, you hear David even pray through suffering, through the Psalms. He would pray, where are you? God, where are you? How long, oh Lord, how long? And that's such a common thing to feel like you're in the middle of something and you're alone and there's no, you know, life raft and there's no even word from the Lord, but we have the words of the Lord. And so we as a family have just turned toward scripture and have really planted our feet there.
Isn't that so interesting too? Amanda Jenkins is on the afternoon show here on Faith Radio too, but as you find yourself going through suffering and then you feel like maybe life is coming at you faster and faster, heavier and heavier and heavier, stressful anxiety. And you're like, huh, when's the last time that I was reading the Bible? When's the last time that I was in the Word? You know what I mean? And I don't mean that to come off judgmental. That's what happens to me, you know,
yeah,
and
that's
what you just said is happening to you.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, sometimes we ride the wave of the last time we were in the Word, right? And then, and we're trying so hard to meet the needs of people around us, or just like we said, keeping our head above water. And so it does get lost. It does get lost in the mix. And so I found that what helped me is that I was truly discipling a kid through it, you know? And so it's sometimes we know what's true, even though we don't feel what's true. And so for her sake, I had to keep saying what was true, but it really ended up being for my sake. That we really had this strong return to scripture, and that I had to check myself, that I, instead of trying to fix the problems, and meeting with more doctors and putting all my energy into that, I had to start my days in a very serious way in scripture in order to survive it, really. And that's where the Lord started walking me out in just showing me little ways each day that he was showing up. That only emerged after we were truly re-immersed in scripture.
Hmm. Amanda, there's got to be, several layers of suffering going on in your story. And I just want to remind the Faith Radio audience that we're talking to Amanda Jenkins, this new interactive Bible study from the creators of The Chosen, which if you haven't seen it yet or you haven't even heard about it yet, I'm still flabbergasted by the amount of people that haven't heard about this TV series. Drives me crazy because it's so good. This Bible study, this interactive Bible study, will help you and guide you through season 4 of the series, which will be in theaters again, I believe, for Holy Week. But Amanda, the different levels of suffering that I would imagine that you have in the relationship with your daughter and then with your husband and the rest of your family. And so I would imagine that your daughter looks to you as kind of the one that has to keep it all together, and you're witnessing to her. And then I'm sure you're encouraging and holding up each other between you and your husband and the rest of the family, that there's just so many layers of suffering. And in every single layer of suffering, there's God's goodness again.
Well, yeah. And what was, you know, no doubt not a coincidence was that the season 4, which for the people who haven't gotten to see it in theaters, it is still coming to the app for free. But the season 4 is really truly about suffering. And we see those closest to Jesus suffering, and we see Jesus suffering. And of course, we're going to see so much more of Jesus suffering in the coming season, since we already know how this story ends. And so I don't think it was a coincidence that as we're stewarding the story, for the show, that God's allowing us to experience the theme of it in our own life. And so, we've been in the space for a while. We've had different issues in our lives that have caused us to really have to seek the Lord in personal ways and cling to the Lord, I would say, in ways that I truly believe actually protect the show. Because when you're clinging to the Lord, you're hearing from him more. I find in my life, when things go well, I loosen my grip on the Lord and I wander a little bit more because I'm not as desperate. So the suffering not only mirrors the show, what's happening in the show and the story we're actually bringing to the world, but it just personally kept us clinging. It personally kept us returning to the Lord. And sometimes that return, like I said, sometimes it's angry. I have spent a lot of time, you know, I say now in a lot of the times that I teach, God doesn't really require pretty prayers from us. I think as Christians, we're oftentimes trying to find the lesson quickly and trying to get to the place where we could wrap it in a bow and present it like it's something we've come through. And I've been so stripped of that, that it really became, okay, I'm in this moment today. I'm struggling today. I've got to seek the Lord desperately today. And so sometimes my approach with the Lord is anger. Sometimes I'm like, we have issues and we've got to work through this. But he's definitely the one that we return to. And he has proven himself faithful, not in doing what we want him to do. I'm still asking for him to heal my kid. But what he is doing is bigger, actually, because I'm watching her. I'm getting emotional as I say it, but I'm just watching her know him in a way she just couldn't have without what she's been through. So I'm going to let you talk while I breathe.
Amanda Jenkins is on Afternoons with Bill Arnold. And when we go through suffering, it's hard. I want to let you know that you're not alone. Amanda, you're not alone. We're here with you. We love you. We're praying for you. We all have struggles in our life that we're going through that cause us to not be able to speak either. But in a world where suffering is everywhere, and it seems like it's hard to find purpose and peace and goodness, but as believers in Jesus, there's hope to be found in spite of the struggle. And in this Bible study from the creators of The Chosen, it's called God's Goodness for the Chosen, helping us through season 4 of the series. I love what you wrote here. That's the thing about suffering is none of us want it. Peter didn't want it either, which begs the question, how did he go from being the guy who denied even knowing Jesus to being the guy who boldly preached the gospel no matter what the consequences were, no matter what the suffering was, no matter what the circumstances were, no matter the threats that he faced? What happened there? And how can we find encouragement? Amanda's going to walk us through that next on Faith Radio.
Hi, this is Bill Arnold. You might be the kind of person that goes to Paris and still listens to Faith Radio on the app. Or you might be more like the person that goes into the next room in your apartment and listens. The good news is using the app is just as easy in both places. Downloading the free app is crazy easy. Just text the word app to 877-933-2484 and click the link. And if you happen to be in Paris, there is a really nice little coffee shop not far from the Eiffel Tower that serves a really nice chocolate biscotti.
That's the thing about suffering. Nobody wants it. That's what Amanda Jenkins wrote in this book, The New Interactive Bible Study from the Creators of The Chosen, and it is spot on. It's going to help you through season 6 of the series, but it's also going to help you and minister you and be an 8-part lesson Bible study to help you understand how God uses suffering to bring good things into the lives of those he loves. And we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter didn't want to suffer either. And Amanda, so this is the question. How did Peter go from being the guy who denied ever knowing Jesus to being the guy who boldly preached the gospel without fear, no matter the consequences, because he came up against some pretty severe suffering?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we, so often when we look at the disciples, or when we think about the disciples, Dallas often says, my husband often says that we have them on stained glass windows, right? And they seem so complete. And so, you know, we've even in different denominations made them saints. And I would say we miss the beauty of their process in getting there, that God actually chose men and women to follow him who were actually a mess. I mean, I so many of us relate to Peter's, his temper and his questioning and his, His raucous ways more than we identify with the pillar of strength he was at the end of his life. But how did he get there? And when you read 1 Peter and you hear his conviction, it was not that long before that he was denying even knowing Jesus. And so to recognize where they came from, I think provides so much hope in that Jesus makes us what we're not. You know, Peter was not stable. He was not a rock, but God made him a rock. And so, unfortunately, most of those changes, those character changes, come through suffering. We don't want that. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could be blessed with prosperity and also learn selflessness and humility at the same time? But most of us don't learn it that way. None of us learn it that way. And so we resist the suffering, the very suffering that not only changes our character, but also helps us to identify with our Savior because he suffered.
Yeah.
And so I think through this process, not only have I learned more about the followers of Jesus and where they came from, and there's so much hope in that, but also I'm identifying more with Jesus, the man of sorrows, and realizing how much he relates to me in this moment of suffering. And that just all the more makes me love him and all the more makes me feel loved by him. So unfortunately, I think Peter changed the way we all change, and it came through failure and suffering, but then seeing God's faithfulness and his goodness and his praiseworthiness, and the life that he offers apart from the one that we're living, all of those things lead us to not being rescued from suffering. And that's why we use this picture of eclipsing in our study, because sometimes God grants these prayers for healing or rescue or relief financially or whatever, wherever we are suffering. Sometimes God removes the suffering, but more often than not, he doesn't. And what then? And what I'm finding is that there is this eclipse, this God's goodness becomes bigger than the suffering, not that it's removed, but that it's mitigated by, that it's the vehicle through which we see him more clearly and experience him more intimately.
I love the word eclipsed and how you use that. Amanda Jenkins is on Faith Radio. God's Goodness for the Chosen is the name of the book. It's an 8-part lesson. It's a Bible study revealing how God uses suffering to bring good things into the lives of those he loves. And in this book, death is eclipsed by life. Grief is eclipsed by praise. Questions are eclipsed by resolve. Confusion eclipsed by grace. Temporary things eclipsed by eternal things. Heartbreak eclipsed by love. Sin is eclipsed by obedience. Pain is eclipsed by the fullness of God's plan. And that's in every lesson here on God's Goodness for the Chosen. Amanda, you mentioned Peter. And again, I just want to double down. I was in church on Sunday morning, and our executive pastor was filling in for our lead pastor. And she got up there and she said, raise your hand if you've heard about the Chosen. And I was surprised by the amount of people that didn't raise their hand. And she went on to tell me that her and her husband just started watching The Chosen. They're like 3 or 4 episodes in. And she said, you got to watch this. It's so good. And that's my experience as well. I am just so flabbergasted by the fact that there are so many people that still don't know about The Chosen. So if you're listening to Faith Radio right now and you don't know what The Chosen is, Amanda's going to tell you here in just a second. But I am so interested in watching Peter in the conversation that we're having about with Peter today. In how he is in The Chosen, but you see it in God's Word too, but particularly in The Chosen, kind of pouty and stubborn and hard-headed, you know what I mean? And that's my favorite thing about The Chosen, is it helps me get to know the people in the Bible, the Chosen, the 12, the women that supported Jesus' ministry in a whole new way to help me understand the Bible better, and I can't wait to watch another episode.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a real experience for us too, you know, in when we're even writing about the disciples, and now writing about, just for an example, how, you know, Andrew was killed at the end of his life. And suddenly that carries so much more meaning than it did before, because now we're connected to these people and we're watching these people and we, you know, we understand them a little bit more. And so, yeah, there is a depth of connection that happens through watching the show that, you know, a lot of people say that it's kind of made the kind of the black and white of scripture come be in color. And it's not that scripture needs any help at all, but there is something to the medium of television and this, the, you know, the visual side of things. And when you can see Jesus's eyes, when he's saying something compassionately, rather than just imagining it, you're actually seeing the compassion. It just changes the way you read scripture sometimes, and it engages you a little bit more fully. And that's definitely what it has done for each of the disciples as well.
Right. Amanda, for those that, again, don't know that The Chosen exists or want to watch it, which I highly recommend you do. How do you find it?
You know, it's so easy to find, which has been part of the ministry of the show, is that, you know, we've made it free. We want everybody who wants to see it to be able to see it. So it's a completely new kind of entertainment. You can actually see it on streaming services like Amazon, Netflix, Peacock, but it's also just a free on an app. You can go to your app store on your phone and just look up The Chosen, and all of the episodes from seasons 1 through 3 are already there, along with all kinds of bonus material. So it's just a free television show that is bingeable. I mean, my husband and I love good television. It's good television, and it's also based in biblical truth. So it's just a really new, wonderful, out of the box thing for Christians and non-Christians alike, because it's just good TV.
Right. And you can go see it season 4 in the theaters this week, right? Or is it next week, Holy Week, it's coming back out in the theaters?
I believe it's next week, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Amanda Jenkins, thank you for being on Afternoons with Bill Arnold here on Faith Radio and the conversation about suffering. Just one final question that I have is, as you know, people are going through suffering, in the fact that there is goodness of God, God doesn't change, and you talk about hope and you talk about the promise that this earth is not our home. And as believers, how can the hope of heaven get us through or impact the way that we feel about the suffering that we're going through, that we feel about the circumstances?
Well, I can speak for myself. The more I chose to fill my head with God's words, the more temporary the suffering is, and it feels so relentless when you're in it. But when you're focused on all of what is real, meaning now and eternity, that's real. That's going to happen. You suddenly are like, okay, there is relief coming. I've been promised relief, and I've been promised a pain-free existence, right? That's the promise of heaven. That's the hope of heaven. And so when you start really just planting your feet there and your heart and your eyes and your mind, that becomes more real. And so you do have, when the Bible says that suffering produces endurance, that's what it's for. I mean, you're not running eternally. You're just running to the end of this road. And what is eternal, what lasts forever beyond what we can even comprehend, is pain free. And so there is such hope in that. And there's such relief in that. Of course, you know, on a smaller scale, if you're looking forward to your vacation in a couple of weeks, it helps get you through work for the next two, you know, and because you know your vacation is coming. Heaven is the same thing. It's you're suffering for now, but it's only for now. And there will be an end to it. And that just, it just helps. It helps to believe that in a real way, not just in a, you know, that's a nice thing to say. No, when you really believe that and stand on that, it changes how you get through the day.
Amanda, thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving other people through our conversation today. And through this brand new interactive Bible study from the creators of The Chosen. It's called God's Goodness for the Chosen, an 8-lesson Bible study revealing how God uses suffering to bring good things into the lives of those he loves. We are grateful for you, Amanda. Give Dallas a big hug for us.
Will do. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Thank you. Coming up on Saturday, a very special Heaven How I Got Here 2-hour radio special about the thief on the cross. He had a violent life, no chance of getting into heaven, but because of the grace of God, he was saved. It's amazing. Pastor Colin Smith has written this book. It has become a radio drama, and you can watch the movie. But listen to get a fresh new understanding of what Jesus did on the cross this Saturday morning, right here on Faith Radio. There's a song that says, there is hope for the hopeless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken hearts. Cry out to Jesus. Hi, I'm Ben. This is Afternoons with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio, and Pastor David Miles joins us in studio, one of our absolute favorites. Pastor Miles, thank you, sir. Good to talk to you. Good to have you again. It's almost like we have these conversations before the radio that are like my favorite parts of the week that we should get on the radio. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So thank you for coming back. Thank you for continuing this discussion about help for one's hopelessness, because it seems like as Wyatt and I work here at Faith Radio, we get text messages, we get emails. We live in the same world that you live in, and you see people struggling. We talk about it quite a bit that 77% of people, according to the CDC, say in this country, in America, that they're lonely, and they're dealing with this loneliness epidemic. And we have had conversations already this week about people who are seeking after God, and they just feel hopeless. And that word, hopeless, just keeps popping up over and over and over again. And I feel like on my heart, and maybe on yours too, that God wants us to continue to talk about these, because there are people in different situations. Maybe they weren't listening on Tuesday or Monday, but they're listening today. And they're listening right now for a reason. God wants them right here for a reason. And before we got on, we prayed, God, please, you know, speak through us. Help us to do your will. Why is hopelessness such a big deal right now? And why does it keep coming up?
Wow. He just started off with a good one, didn't he? You know, it's as much as we have all these wonderful technologies, as much as we have all these, you know, wonderful knowledge and all these various things, God is still true. His word is still true. And God does love. And as a creator, he did create a world with order. And when he looked at it, he saw that it was not just good, but very good in its perfection. And, you know, we have, you know, as the Bible says, we like sheep have all gone astray and to our own ends. And so, like, it's not necessarily always a, you know, a fun thing to say, like, hey, we actually do live in a beautiful yet broken world. And that, as, you know, one of my elder pastors in Ohio once said, and I think we said this last time, you know, him and his wife had lost their son. He had a, you know, kind of a respiratory issue, and both of his lungs had deflated. But I remember him sharing in a Sunday morning a time after that, and he said, sometimes life wouldn't be so difficult if we didn't expect it to be so easy.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
That's good.
Drop the mic. That's the end of the conversation.
You know, and it can, here's the thing, it can seem to be that way because of perception. Mm. You know, so sometimes perception, people will note that perception can be reality sometimes. And so, like, you know, it can feel hopeless when you look at someone's insanity gram and fake book.
Yeah.
Everything looks absolutely perfect,
right.
You know, and I remember someone saying to me, you know what, life is, especially the holidays, they said, I love Christmas. Christmas is such a beautiful time of the year until I turn on the television and I go out of my house.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes the whole issue of expectation and, you know, my wife Tammy and I were at an X and O's marriage conference, and someone had made a comment on expectation, and he said, you know, disappointment is the place, the gap between our expectations and reality.
Mm.
Like what we expect something to be and what it really is, and kind of that gap in between is where disappointment will come in. And again, going back to perception, sometimes the world sells this like life is a hot mess, but it can be fixed in a 30-minute sitcom.
Right. Mm. So it's interesting because you were using hand gestures about, what did you call it, reality and expectation, right?
Yes.
And it seems like, and tell me if I'm wrong here, Pastor David Miles, that reality seems like it's dropping and expectation seems like it's getting higher and higher. And so that gap seems like it's growing for a lot of people. Would you agree that that's what the perception is?
Yeah, I would say like that can be part of the perception. And sometimes for people, it's like the stark like reality of things too, where they see, you know, more of the gap between things, and it can be, you know, all consuming, so that we literally forget everything else that's good.
Right, but we were just talking about the screens and how those have changed things. What did you call them? Fake book and Insta?
Insanitygram.
Insanitygram. <Yeah. laughs> So because of the screens, because of what we're seeing, it looks like that the expectations for my life and what I have to attain and achieve is getting higher and higher and higher. And those same things, those same Insanitygram and fake book, is telling me that reality, and I'm using air quotations, is going lower and lower and lower. And so you have this pull. You're being pulled apart.
Yeah.
And it's perception, but it isn't necessarily reality, because we're focused on things that aren't real.
Right. And what happens is that in order to get attention, you know, it becomes the most extreme poles of things that scream the loudest and make it seem like either you're way over here or you're way over here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like either you're, you know, tried and true Vikings fan waiting for a Super Bowl or you're a Packers fan over there. And, you know, so, but I mean, like those things do, and we kind of can get into like an either or in our thinking, instead of sometimes that it's both and.
Right. And that creates the hopelessness, right? And whether you're a Viking or a Packer fan, or you're a Republican or a Democrat, or you're this or that, and you're standing on, you know, I picture the Philistines and the Israelites, and Goliath is shouting, and we're shouting over here, and they're shouting over there, and then there's just this huge chasm. Mm-hmm. Again, we just keep talking about all of these huge chasms.
Yeah, and we get into these big chasms, and it's really... it's very easy sometimes to pull in and say, God's on our side.
Right.
And, you know, we end up like Joshua at the battle, seeing the angel of the Lord and saying, hey, whose side are you on? And he's like, I'm the angel of the Lord. I'm not on this side. I'm not on that side. I came to take over, you know. And even in times when you see media stuff and all these different things. And here's the thing. Let's not get it twisted, because sometimes we can go to the extreme too. I mean, like, I make the comment of Insanitygram and fake book because sometimes some of the things that get put out there, you know, it's not reality.
It's like a highlight reel.
Yeah, it's a highlight reel. So, like, you know, I remember hearing, like, these two grandparents and talking with them, and they said, we had a Christmas picture, but we literally spent 2 days of just like family fighting and arguing and kids screaming.
But for that 1 second, you said cheese.
For that 1 second. Yeah. And thank goodness, you know, like the aperture and shutter speed was that quick.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, that might have been lost. And so, you know, it becomes this thing where we judge ourselves. So, guys, I have this thing that I, you know, I'll share when I'm talking with my students. And then also kind of as a keynote speaker, addressing things like mental wellness and suicide and, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ and hope. You know, I'll write on the board these words going from left to right. And I'll write UI, UI, CI, CC, UC. And people usually go, what is that? And we'll just cut to the chase. And I would say, unconscious incompetence, conscious incompetence, conscious competence, unconscious competence. And I would basically say something like, listen, here's the reality. You know, there was a period of time that Wyatt, when he was like, you know, 2 months old, he did not know a gas pedal from an ignition to any of those things. And so he was unconsciously incompetent of what driving a car was. And then there's a short period of time where you're consciously incompetent and you start doing driving. You start doing driving school and that. And then there's a period where, a short period after that, that the state says, here's your license, because they consider you consciously competent enough to drive. And if I were to ask you guys today, as you drove into the station, how much did you really think about your driving?
Not much.
Not at all.
Probably dangerously not that much.
Right.
Sometimes I think, how did I get here?
Yeah, exactly. Right? You just all of a sudden are there.
Because we have this habit. And so what I'll say to the students, I'm like, listen, there's a person who starts off and they can't tell a biology cell from, you know, a blood drop. And then eventually, you know, they see an animal. I'm like, that's cool. And then eventually they have one of our wonderful biology teachers at University of Northwestern St. Paul. And they learn more about that. Mm. And then eventually they're a neurosurgeon. Mm. And I explained to the kids, like, with everything we do, we go through this progress from unconscious incompetence to eventually, if we stay at it, unconscious competence. Mm. And the reason why I bring that up, I'll say to them, the reason why I bring that up is for them to slow down and to give themselves grace and mercy. Mm. Because we're so inclined to judge our chapter one to someone else's chapter 23.
Yeah.
And we're inclined to judge our chapter three to someone's chapter four in the fourth book of their series.
Mm. Yeah.
And conclude, I should just give up. I mean, like, there's right. no hope for me because I'll never be as whatever we fill in the blank. But we don't realize that it's a perception of that. And I love the person who said, like, Sam Walton of Walmart. You know, he was a successful businessman. He was an overnight success, and it took him, what, like 70 years of being an overnight right. success. Yeah. Like, so that's that part where even hopelessness between expectations and reality is the disappointment that sometimes we're expecting it to be. It's to be Burger King. Right. Hi, I pull up. Here's what I want to order. I paid for it. I'm going to come around to the window, and it better be ready. And we're not expecting a crock pot. Or yeah. we're not expecting an all-day pig roast that you have sure. to prepare that bad boy, and it's got to spin the – I mean, so that's the thing where sometimes our reality – can even feed our hopelessness.
Well, you're spot on too with the dangers of comparing your story with somebody else's or where you're at in life with somebody else. Let's just say, for instance, you do see a picture on social media, even if it is 100% accurate of that person's life. Hey, be happy for them. Feel good for where they're at. Your story, your life doesn't have to look exactly like theirs. Does it say anywhere in the Bible God wants us to compare ourselves with our neighbors? How much money we have? The car we drive? Is there a scripture passage one of you two can pull? I certainly can't. So why do we do it? It's annoying. Oh.
It's so annoying. Sinful nature, right?
Yeah, and there's a part of us that, you know, we have this sometimes. Yeah, there's various types of longings and voids that we're trying to fill.
Right.
You know, and our inclination can be to look at someone. And here's the thing, like, honestly, we don't have to go far because, like, Jesus, he raises from the dead. Dude shows up on the beach to make breakfast right. for his friends, and he basically, you know, restores Peter, who just denied him.
Yeah.
And then Peter sees what? Peter sees John as, you know, Jesus is telling Peter, here's what's going to happen with your life. And he's like, Lord, what about him? He goes, don't worry about him. You follow me.
Mm.
And that's our inclination is that we can begin to want to look at others. Now, here's the thing. Being encouraged and inspired by one another, that's a very good thing. Paul even said, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. Be an imitator of me as I imitate Christ. You know, so not all comparison is, you know, horribly wrong. It goes back to a Leighton Ford statement, God is an artist, you know. He's only made one of you. Fulfill your purpose in this world as a once-in-eternity creation.
Right. Pastor David Miles is on Afternoons with Bill Arnold here on Faith Radio. I just go right back to the song we started the segment with. There is help for the hopeless. There is hope for the hopeless. There is rest for the weary. And there is love for the broken heart. And the next line is, cry out to Jesus. That same emptiness, that same hole, that same chasm we're talking about. It's so easy to say, just fill it with Jesus, but he is the answer to everything. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through him. There's more with Pastor David Miles as we give help for one's hopelessness here on Faith Radio.
Ann texted me, and then we had a conversation on the phone. She's 86 years old, and her husband, Bob, is 96. She listens to the podcast every single day, and she gets a lot of encouragement for her walk of faith in the midst of a life that has grown difficult and weary in many ways. Ann has a Faith Radio story, and so do you. If Faith Radio is a part of your daily journey with God, we'd love to hear your story. Share how God is using Faith Radio to encourage you and help you grow at myfaithradio.com. And who knows, maybe Ann will hear your story and be encouraged as well.
As you listen to Faith Radio this afternoon, I don't know necessarily what your perception of me or Wyatt or Pastor David Miles is, but for the longest time, as I listened to Christian radio before I worked in Christian radio, Pastor Miles, I would always listen and go, well, they're perfect. They got it all figured out. They probably have the Bible memorized. They're, you know what I mean? All of these things. And we've been talking about perception, reality, and some of the differences as we have conversations about help for one's hopelessness. And during the break, we just had a conversation about going to the fact that we're broken people. We struggle too. Behind these conversations that we're having right now, we might be having a real struggle at home with our marriage. Now, I don't know the most intricate details of your guys' life, but maybe you're having a problem with somebody you work with. And there are all of these things that are on our hearts and on our minds as well. So I just want to encourage you that as you're listening right now this afternoon to Faith Radio, we don't have it all together. We're just people here sharpening each other, trying to focus on Christ, trying to become more like him, struggling through life, knowing one of my favorite promises of the Bible is Isaiah 41:10, which you have written down here. Fear not, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Pastor Miles, we had a conversation, Wyatt and I, earlier this week about the fact that this pastor said that God has a plan and a purpose for you, but so does Satan, right? And so it's not all sunshine and roses here on this side of the microphone all the time. And I don't know why I'm necessarily sharing that and being vulnerable in that way, but I just want you to know that there is hope in seeking out Christ. And together we need each other to continue to seek him. And that's why we're here at Faith Radio.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a part of even just about Christian community,
right?
You know, I mean, like, I'm here. Let's just kind of blow this thing up. I mean, like, literally, this morning I woke up and I went downstairs into a part of, you know, one of the rooms, and I just sat with the Lord, and I'm just like, Lord, help. Like, I'm trying to figure out this, and this, or trying to make sense, or like, wanting to make the right decision, yeah. You know, having the wisdom. And so, like, I need your wisdom. I need your help. And I'm not exactly even sure, like, how to fully put it. And, you know, that's, like, real. And I mean, like, and this is one of the reasons why I feel blessed, not because of, like, this happening, but part of it being my story, that as a sophomore in high school, I failed my own suicide attempt. Okay. So there you go, folks. Like, no, we're not perfect behind, you know, these microphones. And like,
but neither were anybody in the Bible, and look how God used it. Right.
Exactly. And I mean, like, and oftentimes we think, even my one, sometimes apologies when I talk to leaders is this, sometimes people look at scripture and they think like, wow, all these people, they were pastors.
Right.
It's like, actually, no.
Right.
Okay. I mean, quick run. You know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 3-generation multinational corporation. Moses, a Supreme Court justice. You know, David, top 40 artist, Navy SEAL, king. I mean, you know, Amos tended fig trees. Dude knew how to do figs, man. Yeah. I mean, Fig Newtons went to him. And I mean, you know, the fishermen. Lydia was a dealer in fine purple cloth. You find her in the Soho District of New York. I mean, so like all those various things of people being used, and they were really kind of just very imperfect.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's hope for all of us. Mm. And there's hope for us because Romans 5:8 says this. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, oh, you mean not on the honor roll? Right. You know, as Wyatt was saying earlier, have the perfect manicured lawn, and like, you know, people are going to remember us because of our cars and all those different things, or, you know, to the right schools, or, you know, put our kids, you know, like, first as you're having kids, one is you get, before you get married, are you getting married? Then if you get married, are you having children? Right. Then if you're having children, you know, are they going to go into preschool? If they're going to preschool.
Which one?
Which one? You know, are you going to homeschool, Christian school? Right. Are you going to send them to public school? Are you going to work? Right. And so all these things very go on, and it just, you know, it's, you just want to, you know, pull out your hair. And so it becomes this nonstop kind of thing where our society says to us, you're not enough.
Mm. That's not what God says.
You know? Yeah, but here's the thing. God even says in that, even while we were yet sinners, when we weren't enough, we weren't perfect before holy God, that Christ died for us. Mm. I mean, like, when everyone, you know, when the going gets rough and everyone leaves, and when it's time, you know, figuratively speaking, to, you know, everyone has friends when they're paying the bar tab and taking people out, okay? But then all of a sudden, when it's bankrupt, and everyone's like, peace, see you. And that's the moment, like, Jesus walks in when you have nothing. And I think, like, God wants us to be real. And, you know, an interesting passage of Scripture is actually the last book of the Old Testament, which is Malachi. And in the book of Malachi, you know, the people are kind of making these charges against God. And, you know, in the end of chapter 3, it says, it's the people were speaking against the Lord, and the Lord says, you've said to me, it's vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge, or of walking as mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. And so even today, sometimes our inclination can be to look at people that are just like antithetical to God and be like, oh no, that's the way to go. But verse 16 says this, then those who fear the Lord spoke with one another. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing right now.
Right. Yep.
Okay. Like, there's something about getting with other people and speaking with them. Revelation 12:11. They overcame the enemy. You were talking earlier about our enemy. Mm. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. There's a comma, not a period, for they love not their lives unto death. So sometimes even what we perceive to be our reputation and what we want to become in this world to make people think really good of us, but we overcome. But here's the other cool thing about Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, period. The Lord paid attention and heard them. So even as they were speaking, God heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. Mm. So, like, we're talking, and here's the thing. God's listening, too, you know? And so, you know, us not faking it, that life has its really hard parts, but also being real enough to say, like, you know, how can I encourage you, and how can you encourage me, and how can I sit with you? Because sometimes for Job, the most hope that he had in his situation was just that his friend sat with him and didn't say anything.
Right.
But also didn't run away.
Right.
It's when they stayed quiet and they were present. So sometimes that's just being a friend who slows down in this busy world. And that's why the enemy wants to keep you busy.
Right.
To help you just walk past all these situations where he wants us just to sometimes just sit with people.
Yeah. And it's so interesting, Pastor David Miles, when you're on this side of it, to sit with people and to just be there. But when you're on the other side of it, hoping that somebody will sit with you. And I like what you just said there too, because our lives get so busy. Like what you said you did this morning, you just went downstairs and sat with the Lord, you know. Going back to this verse, he is always there. He is always with you. And sometimes because we can't see it or feel it, you know, we feel like we're all alone. And we're down to the last 45 seconds, minute 45 seconds. We had a big conversation for the last 25 minutes. What is something that you can leave for somebody to provide the hope for the hopelessness, the help for the hopeless, before we wrap it up today?
I think one of the things even that we do with Faith Radio is for us plugging into Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you turn on the faucet and you put a glass underneath of it and water flows out of it, if you're to try to figure out, as the Lord once told me when this happened, like how much water went out now, you never know.
Yeah.
But if you only have a half glass, you know what you have to give. So the importance of us putting on our oxygen mask and getting with God and climbing up into his lap and letting him fill us so that we in turn can go and be present among those. I mean, like, here's the thing, Ben, when we walk in, you even said to me, we're not shaking hands. You gave me a hug. Mm. Like, that's encouraging. For some people, they like their 38 inches, but sometimes, sometimes just being there for a person. So just slow down and maybe say, how are you doing? No, really, how are you doing? Mm. And then be quiet and listen. Mm.
Thank you, Pastor David Miles. So grateful. This is Afternoons with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio.
Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.